Okay, Hilchos Hagalat Kalim. For anyone, by the way, who took the Bechina and missed the review, when you're done the Bechina and you wish to mark it, email me and I will send you my answer sheet as well as the recording of the going over the test. So there are two parshios in the Torah that deal with Hechsher Kalim. The first one is in the context of Kadshim, Vayikra, Parak Vav, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Uchli Cheres, Asher Tivushal Bo Yishaver, V'im V'chli Nechoshes Pushala, Umorak V'shutaf Bamayim. Now, the question, of course, here is to what extent will we assume that the dinim of Hechsher B'Nogei L'Kadshim are going to be the same as they are with respect to Chulin? For example, over here it tells us there's a requirement of Shtifa, there's Miriko Shtifa. Does that requirement apply to Chulin as well? We'll talk about that a little later. We also saw a discussion in the Gemara earlier when we did Simen Tzadi Beis in Zvachim on Daf Tzadi Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara there asked, Bishul b'miktsas kli ton merika v'shtifa in the entire kli or not? When you used part of the kli, do you need to do merika v'shtifa for the whole kli? And the Gemara went back and forth. But the maskana was that that you do need merika u'shtifa b'kol ha'kli, and the Gemara quoted a pasuk because the pasuk says b'kli nechoshes bushala, b'kli implies afilu b'miktzas kli, and in the continuation of the Gemara, there's a debate whether that rule applies dafka to kachim or no. It applies b'chol ha'tarkula, like for truma as well. So according to Rava, the halacha was that gabe truma, we say im bishel b'kli lo tzarech hagala b'kol ha'kli, only for kachim. And Abaye v'Rabba might have disagreed with that. That related to Simen Tzadi Beis and Simen Tzadi Dalet in terms of the traveling blios, and we'll return to that question. But you see from that Gemara one place where there is a discussion in the Gemara itself whether we should assume that the dinim of Hechsher Kalim that are stated with respect to Kachim also apply equally to Chulin, or perhaps they're different. One other potential place, besides the Iker Parsha of Hechsher Kalim, which we'll talk about in one moment, where we potentially might learn from is the halacha of Tumantara. So Pashupshad is, I would have said, Tuma has nothing to do with Hechsher Kalim. However, we do find some places where we potentially learn. I'll give you now, since we're starting with just a Hakdama Samar Mekomos, and as you go through the Limud, we'll return to some of these questions. If you take a look at the Gra on Simen Tafnun Aleph Sif Ches, the Gra discusses the question of Hechsher Kalim for clay Evan. So the Gra writes that Rav Haigon was of the opinion that dinam kekli cheres, and therefore if you wanted a kosher stoneware actually made out of stone. I think when v'lashon b'nei adam, when they refer to stoneware, it's lav dafka stone. But anyway, stoneware made out of stone, like, you know, in the Flintstones. So then you need hesed gadol, just like libun gamor, because it's like kli cheres. And he brought a raya, and the Gra disagrees, and that's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. We paskin that you could do hagala, and he writes one of the rayos, uvisof perkei de kalim tanor shel evan v'shel matchos tahor v'tamei mishem klei matchos v'chulei. So the Gra thought we had a raya that from a mishnah about tum and tahara, where we equate Kli Evan with Mateches to the halachas of Hechsher Kalim. I would have said, what does one thing have to do with the other? One is a question of Tumantara, one is a question of how deeply entrenched do the Blios go? Do they go in and never leave, like in Kli Cheres, or no, do they go in and out when Hagalas takes place? How could you bring a Raya? And the Gra continues, what gives me the right to think you could extrapolate? Ukamosha Kasav Ravan, the Alfinan Isser Mituma. Kamosha Kasav Bisim Bisof Avodizara Ayin Hey Amud Aleph Venida Daf Samachay Kederach Shenamru Bataras Vachulei. So the Gra thinks at least with respect to certain dinim, like how do we categorize different types of materials, yalfinan tuma, sorry, yalfinan iser mitumah, or yalfinan hechsher mitumah. Likewise, if you take a look at the Beis Yosef over here on Sif Ches, he writes, v'kasav ha-mordechai, kasav b'shem or zeruah, ner be'enai dekli etzem ein sarech hagala, delo bali. So there was an opinion in the Rishonim that you don't need to do hagala on clay etzem, meaning to say they're always kosher, they're not boleya anything at all. V'chein pirish ha-rav Yechiel mi-Paris, delo matzino blia de oser gabe kli etzem. Vani osem aisa kasher kasavti. In other words, I'm mekel, I don't kasher kli etzem. Amnam libi no kef ktsas. Deha amor beparshis klei midyan. V'chol maase izim. Upirsh rashi. Lahavi es akarnaim vetlafayim v'atzamos. So what pasuk is talking about? This is a little bit later on in the parsha of klei midyan, where we're not talking about food kelim anymore. The pasuk says, v'chol beged, v'chol kli or, v'chol maase izim, v'chol kli eitz tischata'u. Now that's talking about what? Tischata'u, it's talking not about hachshar kelim, it's talking about mechatas. It's talking about tuma. And yet, we bring a raya. V'chol sheken kli etzem, v'kli karen shel shor agadol, alma, ikka blia b'kli etzem, midik amar tischata'u. From the fact that we say tischata'u, which is again l'chora pasuk talking about tamantara, we bring a raya to hechsher kelim. Well, what exactly is tischata'u talking about? So we'll talk about that when we do now, and also when we get to tefilas kelim. V'chein darsh Talmuda perkam v'dechulin. So there's a Rashi also that when he talks about how do we know hechsher on kli etzem, where's the Rashi again? By when he puts for not kliatim, kliates. It's in Psachim on the Gemara, right? So the Rashi in Psachim also quotes a pasuk when discussing kliates and hagala. Can you learn? Quotes a pasuk about tamantara. So that's another in Marmakom. Another Marmakom on this topic. If you want to look at a discussion, is in the Chachma Shlomo, which is at least in the fancy Shulchan Aruch on the margin of the page, has a discussion of the parameters as to when you can't learn from Tuma and Tara. So anyhow, that's another, again, we'll return to this question as we go through Hechsher Kelim, but another Mar Makom to consider. So we have two parshios that we may or may not be able to learn from, the parsha of Mariko Shtifa Bekadshim and also the parsha of Tum and Tahara. And finally, of course, the pasuk itself, the Iker parsha of Hechsher Kelim, is in Parshas Matos, Perek Lamed Aleph. This is the when they come back from battling Midian and they have Kelim, and the Torah tells us, Elazar tells the people directions how to kasher their Kelim. Yomer Elazar, Kohen El Anshei Tzava, Ba'im LaMilchama, Zos Chukasa Torah, Shetziva Hashem, Es Moshe, Aches Es Ahav, Ves HaKesef, Ves HaNechoshes, Ves HaBrazel, Sabedil, Ves HaOfares, Kol Davar Asher Yavo Va'esh, Taviru Va'esh, V'Taher, Ach B'mei Nida Yischata, V'chol Asher Yavo Va'esh, sorry, V'chol Asher Lo Yavo Va'esh, Taviru B'mayim. So that last pasuk, Chav Gimel, is of course the Iker pasuk where we learn all of Hilchos Hechsher Kelim from, right? Kol Asher Yavo Va'esh, Taviru Va'esh, and so then tavir b'mayim. It's interesting that there's a very basic machlokas rishonim how to translate that pasuk even on a simple level. So Rashi on that pasuk says tavir ba'esh kederch tashmisho hagalaso ma shetashmisho al yedei chamin yagilenu b'chamin uma shetashmisho al yedei tzli kegon ashvud v'azgila yilabnenu be'or. So I think before you look at Rashi on the pasuk, you sort of assume that the pasuk is telling us kol asher yavo ba'esh taviru ba'esh, that's libun, and kol asher lo yavo ba'esh taviru b'mayim, that's hagala. And the pasuk is referring to the two famous, most important forms of hechsher. Libun first, if it's yavo ba'esh, and hagala second. That's not the way Rashi reads the pasuk. The way Rashi reads the pasuk is kol asher yavo ba'esh basically is the principle of kibol o kach palto, So if it's tashmisho al yidei chamin, so then yagilenu b'chamin. And if it's tashmisho b'tzli, then yelabnenu b'or. Rashi there doesn't use the principle of kibolo kach polto for tzli, though he does elsewhere, as we'll get to shortly. So anyway, the point though is that according to Rashi, kol asher yavo va'esh tavio va'esh refers to both hagala and libun. So what's the end of the pasuk talking about? What is kol asher lo yavo ba'esh tavio b'mayim? What mayim? What's lo yavo ba'esh? So Rashi writes v'chol asher lo yavo ba'esh kol davar she'ein tashmisho al yidei ha'or kigon kosos v'tzluchios she'tashmishan b'tzonein v'lo balu iser. So the end of the pasuk is talking about things that you only use for cold. So like a cup where it's only used b'tzonein. So then, tavir b'mayim, what does that mean? Matbilan v'dayo v'davka klimatchos. Tavir b'mayim refers to the mitzvah of tevilas kelim. So this pasuk begins, says, if you use it with hot, then you need hachshir kelim. That's kol asher yavo ba'esh. Ba'esh includes not just direct connection to the fire like tzli, but even bishul. And then kol asher lo yavo ba'esh, if it's used b'tzonein, so then tavir b'mayim, all you need, if it's metal, is tevilas kelim. Now, it's not for now, but just an interesting point, which is Rashi writes that the pasuk has already referred to the mitzvah of tevilas kelim, actually, really twice, but partially in Ach b'mei nida yischata. Right, Rashi says Ach b'mei nida yischata. So he says the pshuto is it's talking about chitui mitumas hameis, but Rabosenu darshu sha'af lachshiro min ha'iser hitin tvilas klei matchos. And meini does refers to when maim shanida tovalas bahen. But I guess that would be talking about things that you kashered. So the pasuk first says things that you kasher, you first need to kasher them, like hagala, and then b'mei nida yischata, then do tvilas kelim. And v'chol asher le'ova ba'esh, so you don't need a kasher them, so then simply tavir b'mayim, all those need is tefilas kelim alone, without anything else. Now the Ramban on the Pasuk is masig on what Rashi says, that tavir b'mayim at the very end of the Pasuk means tevila. But he also agrees to Rashi's first half of the explanation. In other words, he agrees, when Rashi says kol asher yavo ba'esh tavir ba'esh, that's referring to both hagala and libun. So what is the end of the pasuk of kol asher lo yavo ba'esh tavir b'mayim referring to? That's not tevila, because taviru b'mayim is not a lashon of tevila. And rather, what does it mean? It's basically referring to cleaning it. Aval perush taviru b'mayim lechabsam uleshav shefosam b'mayim yafeh ad shetasur chaluda shenidbika bahen min ha'iser shenishtamish bahen shezehu hechsheiran min ha'iser. The lashon of hechsheiran is an important lashon. Kol asher yavo b'mayim is a reference to hechsher. In other words, as opposed to Rashi, where the first half of the pasuk is hechsher, the second half of the pasuk is tevila, the Ramban says both of them are hechsher. Hechsher of a kli that you use with heat is hagala slash libun. Hechsher of a kli that is only used b'tzonein is what is scrubbing it, is getting rid of the chaluda and so on and so forth. And that's begader hechsher. It's interesting. Rashi learned chaluda from the pasuk, the previous pasuk, ach es hazahav. Rashi quotes the Medrash, right? V'arboseinu amru ach es hazahav lo mar shesarch lahavir chaluda shelo kodim shiagilanu, v'zeh lashon ach shelo yehe chaluda, ach hamateches yeh kemo shehu. Could be that the Ramban here is explaining al pi pshat. It could be that the Ramban's talking about a different type of chaluda. He's talking more about mamasha shel iser. In other words, that's what you have to be mavir. Right? He says chaluda shenidbekas mehem min ha'iser shenishtamish ban. It doesn't sound like he's necessarily talking about rust. I'm not sure. But we'll get back to the halachos of rust and what exactly it has to be removed and why you have to remove rust. We'll see that there's a machlokas. Is rust removed because it prevents the Hagala from happening on the actual Kli, or does rust have to be removed? In other words, and we see it as something separate from the Kli, or do we say that rust has to be removed because of a chash that there might be Be'en underneath it? We'll get back to that. But what's very interesting is, again, in the Pasuk of Hechsher Kelim, we have a discussion of what to do with Kli, Kelim Shenishtamshu Bahem Bitzonein. And at least if you learn like the Ramban, that's Begeder Hechsher Kelim, even though according to the Ramban, all you're really doing is getting rid of Masha Nidbak Mehen Min HaEsser. And that is nevertheless considered Hechsher. So that's something to think about. Just an interesting Ramakam, I was thinking. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah, Shinchaf Gimel Lamed Zayin, he writes that Shifshaf HaKli from the Be'en that's on it is considered Tikkun Kli in terms of being Aser on Shabbos. It's not like Hadachas Kalim, which is interesting when you, in the context of this Ramban. Now, there are Mefarshim that understand the Pasuk the way I had intuitively understood the Pasuk, namely, Kol Asher Yavo Ba'esh is referring to Libun, and Kol Tavir B'mayim is referring to Hagala. Among them is the Smag in Lavin Kuf Memches. And also, according to the Graz Girsa, this is the opinion of the Sifrei. Okay, so with that introduction in terms of the Tarsha B'chsav, let's get to the Halachos, and we'll see how perhaps that discussion does actually play a role in some of the dinim. So the first question we have to think about is, why in the world do you need to do Hechsher Kelim? So if you assume that Tom Kicker is Daraisa, so then it makes a lot of sense, because if you didn't do Hechsher Kelim, at least when they're B'nai Yoman, they would Aser your food. So the fact that Hechsher Kelim is needed is not particularly surprising. And in fact, we saw one of the potential sources for Tom Kicker Daraisa is the Parsha of Hechsher Kelim. Of course, the question is, if you learn that Tom Kicker's Lav De'oraisa, so then why is it that you need to do Hechsher Kelim? Again, why you can't learn from Hagalas Kelim as a source, so that we talked about, maybe because Gilei Klei Midian and Chatas are Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Ke'echad, like the Rashba discusses on Chulin Tzadi Chesam at Beis. So we know the Rishonim deal with, and we talked about at the beginning of the year in Tzadi Ches, why we can't learn from, in a technical sense, why we can't learn from Klei Midian to the principle of Tom Kicker Daraisa, let's say because Shnei Ksuma Vayin Ke'echad. But there's a more basic question, which is, what in the world is the point of Hechsher Kelim? After all, nothing bad would happen if I used Treif Kelim. So the Beda Kabayis, the Ra'ah, Bayis Dalet Shar Aleph, page Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, quotes a fascinating answer from the Ramban to deal with this question. He writes that the Ramban answered, "Dekevan de nivla hakli me iser, afal pi she'achshav kishepolate ein kan elatam lo yivatel berov shakli nesar aleinu mishum maila." Lefikach asar pleitaso kol hecha de chashiva pleita klal kilomar de ikataima de have bisheino mino dumya bitvila or maybe litvila de atzricha kra afilu lekelim chadashim de mistama de tvila de oraisahi mishum maila. So why do you have to do tvilas kelim? So the Ramban says mishum maila. What does mishum maila mean? Shemaila is a mitzvah, meaning to say that if you don't do tefillas kelim, your food doesn't become aser, certainly not midiraisa. We'll talk about the dinim derabanan later, but midiraisa, your food is totally kosher. So why do you have to do tefillas kelim? And the Ra'ah here is assuming it's deraisa. That's a machlokas rishonim, but let's assume it's deraisa. So we do tefillas kelim, we'll get back to that. The Ramban is open to both possibilities, but we'll, the specifics we'll get back to. So why? The Torah said so. You have to do tefillas kelim, assuming it's deraisa, because the pasuk says you have to do tefillas kelim, not because your food would otherwise become aser, but because mishum maila. So if you hold tam ke'ikar lav de'oraisa, then the reason why you have to do hachshir kelim is for the same thing. You have to do hachshir kelim because the Torah said you have to do hachshir kelim. You shouldn't use treif kelim. Not because your food would become treif if you use treif kelim, but because of this mila. However, it's one step further. Because once the Torah said you have to do hachshir kelim before you use treif kelim, so memel if you don't, and there's tam, your food becomes aser. But not because, says the Ramban, not because of the tam ke'ikar per se, it'll follow the rules of tam ke'ikar, meaning to say there needs to be some effect on the food, but not because of the klalim of tam ke'ikar, but because you didn't carry out this mila. And it's not even the mila the Ra is going to write in a moment, not even the mila of hechsher, but the mila of tvila. He writes, Why does the food that you use in a treif kli become aser? Because it's ein aroy l'tvila. And call she'en aroy l'tvila, tvila ma'akev. Unbelievable. This is quite a fascinating idea. So the reason why the usage of treif kelim makes your food asher midoraisa, if there's nesinas tam, is because of a chisaron in tvila. And then he writes, well, okay, so what about if you use a kli cheres? There's no mitzvah to do tefila of kli cheres. So let's say I use a treif kli cheres, so maybe my food should be kosher. No. Va'afilu b'kelim she'enam b'nei tefila, afilu hachi aminan kol she'kenegdo b'kelim b'nei tefila, re'uyin l'tefila, kosher b'dieved, aser v'afilu shelo chalak hakaf fine. So basically, no, if it's theoretically roi for tefila, then that would be enough. So hechsher and tefila are both mishamayla, and it's sometimes ma'akev. The Me'iri and the Psach and Mem Gimel Amud Beis quotes this whole pshat of the Ra'ah, B'Shem of the Ramban, and he concludes, V'advarim d'chukim harbe. There's a lot of chidushim that needed to be said to be miyashev this pshat. But what emerges is a fascinating idea, that basically hechsher and tevila are, in a sense, parallel. We'll talk about this again more when we do Tefilas Kelim, but are parallel to Mila and Tefila of Geiras. Just like Geiras, if a non-Jewish person wants to become Jewish, you need to do Mila Tefila. So too, if you want to make a non-Jewish Kli a Jewish Kli, so you need to do Mila Tefila. What's Mila? Mila is Hasaras Harla, or Hasaras HaBlio Shel Isser. We take out first the bad, we remove the bad. How do we do that? Hechsher Kelim. And then, tvila, hachnasa lebris, right? That's how you make the kelim Jewish. And that's basically, that's mishamayla. That's the idea of tvila's kelim, according to the Ra'ah. It's interesting, if you held like the Ra'ah, so what would you say about a klish eno ben yomo? Maybe you should say treifs it up also, because why should there be a difference? Maybe in a chinami. There's only a chiluk according to Man Damar Tam Kikar Deraisa. There's one line in the Gemara that might allow for that. Alternatively, this is probably more likely, according to Ra'ah Shita by Klishen Oben Yomo, it's Nicha. Because remember, the Blios and the Klishen Oben Yomo are Betelim and like they're Kilu gone, right? They're Pagum Lagamre and it's like ashes and garbage and the like. So Memela, we could understand why it wouldn't Aser. Yeah.
Rabbi, the Ra'ah was saying this answer from the perspective of Tam Kikar and not Doraisa.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just confused at the point where we had to explain why the food would still be Usher, but the food shouldn't be Usher because Tam Kikar is not Doraisa.
Correct. It's not Usher because Tam Kikar. It's Usher because you failed to do Tvilas Kalim.
Who says the food would be Usher? Maybe just.
So you could have said Anachanami. Maybe you could have said that, and this is others take that approach. They say, well, if the old time kicker lav deraisa, it was harasha, one time mitzvah, or something else. It's just a mitzvah, but it doesn't make the food non kosher. The like, you could have given those answers,
yeah.
But the Ra'ah doesn't want to say it was harasha. And the Ra doesn't want to say, yes, you have to do...
Or even if it wasn't a Horasha...
You have to do Hefsher Kalim, but it doesn't affect it. In other words, you could have said it's just like Tvilas Kalim, right? The Kalim aren't affected, but the Ra wants to say, no, fundamentally there's no difference between the Mandar Matam Kikar Deraisa and Lav Deraisa with respect to using Treif Kalim. But the only question is, why does the food become Treif? Is it because of Tam Kikar? Or is it because of the Chisaron of Tvilah? Now, I was wondering... Maybe this idea would explain an opinion in Tosfos. We'll talk about it a little bit more later. But there's a question. The Gemara says that Hachzara L'Kivshonos works to Kasher Kli Cheres. And the question is why? Doesn't the Torah Ha'idal Kli Cheres She'enu Yotzim Deidofna Li'olam? So one possibility, probably the mainstream possibility, which we'll discuss later, is it's Enu Yotzim Deidofna Li'olam, meaning to say it's not polate, the Blios. But it's sarfam b'makomam, and therefore, since it burns up the blios, it's effective to kasher even a kli cheres. But there is a number of rishonim that answer that the ray in which it works is because of panim chadashos baolakan. I'll just read you one or two lines from Tosos and Zvachim Tzadi Vavamad Aleph, one place where we see this. You see it also maybe even more clearly in the Rush in Psachim. Of Rabbeinu Tam Haya Omer, Dikshehusku nasu kekelim chadashim, teida damrinan bekula hashas haTorah idal kli cheres enu yotzei midei dofyo liolam v'amai hare yotzei midei dofyo al yedei hachzaras kivshan elavadei kshehusku nasu kekelim chadashim v'chashivi kelim acherim depanim chadashos ba'u lekan. So the question is, why does this work? Bishlama, if you assume that it burns up the kalim, the blios. So then I understand very simply why Hachzar L'Kivshonos works. But if you say it's because of Panim Chadashos Bagan, so great, wonderful. This is a new kli. But the blios are still there, right? When I cook the food in it, I'm going to taste the Tam Shalisser. What's going on? What's going on? Whereas how does Hachzar L'Kivshonos help? So Rav Shechter has a piece, I think it's an Ikve Atzon, where he writes, well, it's Misham Maila. He says this for the opinions of Tam Kikar Lav De'Oraisa. He says it for the Smak, who holds that not Barnat De'Isura is Mutter Mide'Oraisa, right? So basically that means you'll never Aser anything Al Yedei Kalim, because it's always going to be not Barnat, at least if it's not a Davar Charif. If Yisum Charif is Dindarabanan, then never Midaraisa, right? So the answer is, and he says, so that's the pshat as to why, that's the svara behind Panim Chadashos Ba'olakan. The Torah wasn't Mechayev Hechsher, Ki Agavna, why? It's a new kli. I, the Tam, who cares about the Tam? So certainly that makes sense if you hold Tam Kikar Lav De'Oraisa. And maybe even within the view of Tam Kikar D'Oraisa, we won't care about that Tam for whatever reason. Let's say because it's not Barnat De'Isura Lo Tiknu B'Kli Cheres. But Makom, that it's a new Kli, halachically. This also, by the way, relates back to our discussion that we alluded to before about the comparison between Tumah and Blios, right? Panim Chadash Bo Lakan for Tumah is very reasonable. The chiddush is to even apply it for blios. So the fact that we would say panim chadashos ba'ol lakan is indicative of the fact that we see again that hechsher as mishum maila. Hechsher is not just how to ensure that there won't be tam in the food that I eat. Hechsher is about this mitzvah called hechsher kalim, and there's, you have to be machsher kalim that you get from a guy, or transform them into new kalim. Now again, this is a very radical, and the mainstream view is not going to hold this way. The mainstream view is going to say, no, of course, if you're toim tam shel iser, it's aser, and that's because hechsher kalim is relates to tam kikar d'oraisa, and it's designed to get rid of tam kikar d'oraisa. But the shita of the either the Ra'ah or maybe that Kli Cheres works out Panim Chadashos Ba'u Lakan might be a reflection of this halacha. It doesn't work so well within Rabbeinu Tam himself, who says this, because Rabbeinu Tam, I think, says that you could do Hagala B'makom Libun K'dei Levashel, right? By Klich, not by Chayat, by metal. Well, we'll return to that a little later. Anyhow, so just to summarize, how do we understand the purpose of Hechsher Kelim? So the Pashup Shot is we hold Tam Kikra D'Oraisa, and the purpose of Hechsher Kelim is to get rid of the Blios to make sure that there's no Tam Kikra. Some say if you hold Tam Kikra Lav D'Oraisa, so the Ra'as says it's Mishamayla, and then we also consider other possibilities, either in a Chanam you won't Aser it, or but nevertheless the Torah said to do Hagala, or it's Horasha, or the like. The Prima Gadim in Sif Seda Simen Sadi Gimel, Sif Katan Gimel, makes the following argument, Bedas HaRambam, actually, that even though B'diyaved, if you're Mevashel in a Kli Shebala Isser, Mid'oraisa, the food will never become Aser, still there's a mitzvah of Hagalas Kelim. In other words, Hagalas Kelim, the Prima Gadim argues, is an example of a very questionable category. Category that we don't know if it exists in Halacha. What's that category? Is there such a thing as a din l'chatchila mid'oraisa? This is a machlokes rishonim. Before we get to the Prima Gadim, I'll just give you some marmakomos on this. I thought I wrote down my Makomas on this. Here it is. If you, there's some Rishonim that seem to say that there's no such thing as a din l'chatchila mid'oraisa. L'chatchila only, except for maybe by Kachim, or we have a principle of Shana Lava Kasav La'akev, that if you, there are certain things that you have to do, that it's a mitzvah to do them, but if you don't do them, it's not ma'akev, like blila in a karban, mincha. Even that's not so pashut, because it might be a separate mitzvah. But outside of the realm of Kachim, we don't have this idea of mid'oraisa l'chatchila or b'diyaved. For example, if you look at Tosas Gittin, Gimel Amud Beis, he writes that even though we have this idea of Ein Kosvin Get Mechubar Lekarka, that L'chatchila B'diavad, it's kasha, that can't be a Din D'Oraisa, because Mid'Oraisa, there's no such thing as L'chatchila B'diavad. That might be different, it's a matir. The Ritvan Sukkah, Yud Aleph Amud Beis, says that about Mitzvah Shetzarch L'Agdo, Bim Agad, Lo Agad Kasher. Again, he thinks that can't be a Din D'Oraisa. Can't be that there's a Din D'Oraisa that's not Ma'akev. And the Ritva actually is very important, because the Ritva writes that this is true even for laws that are derived from a pasuk, like the Ritva in Megillah Chafamad Aleph is a pasuk that, or drasha at least, that says l'chatchila you should be mashmiya ozno when you say Shema, right? We drashin from Shema Yisrael, and he thinks that it can't be edin d'oraisa, because once you say it's not ma'akev, then it can't be mid'oraisa. So it must be an asmachta, he says. The Rivash says the same thing about the halacha, that the dayanim have to sit. Even though the Gemara is a drasha, that the dayanim should sit and the litigants should stand. But can't be that's a din d'oraisa. Why? Because it's not ma'akev. So therefore it's not d'oraisa. But there are some rishonim. The Ravid, for example, quoted in the Rashba Brachos Tesvav Amud Beis by listening to the Shema. And Tosus and Shvuos, Lamed Amud Aleph, Legabe Chalitza, being Be'amida, Tosus Vachem, Tezayin Amud Aleph, by Yeshiva for Dayanim, the Kesef Mishnah, Bedasa Rambam, in terms of Shchita, Lechatchila, Kol Asimanim, Velo Rubam, Tosus and Gittin, about Hataras HaNeder Shelo Befanav, Tosus Islamid Hamad Beis. So there are a group of Rishonim who hold that, at least in certain cases, and again, there might still be a distinction between a matir and a mitzvah and the like, but in certain cases, we have this principle of something being l'chatchila midarai, so you should do it, but not being ma'akev b'diavet. And that is the Prima Gadim writes, Kedarko Bakodesh, putting all sorts of things together, the opinion of the Rambam with respect to Hechsher Kalim. Why? Because we know the Rambam writes, I'll just read you part of the Prima Gadim, Vine HaRambam Zal Beperk Yudzayid Mehilfos Machal Sosuros Halacha Aleph Ubeis Kasav Vizel Shono Kedir Shocher Shebishel Basar Nevela Aser Levashel Basar Shchuta Bo Bayom Vim Bishel Aser. But we also know that the Rambam said that Tam Kikr, maybe the Rambam held, if you remember from the beginning of the year, Tam Kikr Deraisa or Lav Deraisa, but certainly Lav Deraisa if it's no Mamashas, right? You need Kazais Bechde Achilas Pras to be Mederaisa. So you don't have that. You're never going to have a Kazais of Mamashas Bechde Achilas Pras when you're dealing with Blios, right? So the Rambam holds that there's a mitzvah to do Hechsher Kalim, but it will never actually be able to aser any food if you don't do it. So it's a din l'chatchila midiraisa. So that's what the Rambam writes. So din of again, there's three mahalchim then. How to deal with hechsher kalim if you hold tam kikr lav deraisa? As we saw, there are a large group of rishonim who paskin that way. Either number one, it's a harasha. Number two, it was mishamayla. Or number three is it's a din l'chatchila midiraisa. The two and three are similar. The only question is, would it asher the food or not? Okay. Is Hechsher Kalim a mitzvah? So there are some Monei mitzvos that count a Hechsher Kalim as a mitzvah. Among them, the Smak, mitzvah Kuf Tzadiches. And if you learn like the Ra'ah, that Hechsher Kalim is Mishamayla, so it makes a lot of sense that you would count it as a mitzvah. A Rov Rishonim hold that it's not a mitzvah saseh. The pasuk is only coming to teach me that either to teach me tam kikr, or and also to teach me practically how I can kasher my kalim. So if I want to use the kalim and I don't want there to be a tam shalisser, so this is what I should do. But it's not a mitzvah. It's interesting because the Rambam holds. Again, if the Prima Gadim is right, that you have to do this, but he doesn't count it as a mitzvah, right? And the Rambam also allows for sort of mitzvos that you don't need to formally do, like you count Shechita, for example. So it's interesting to think about, I guess not for now, how this would work within the Rambam. But again, if you learn like the Ra'ah, then it makes a lot of sense that this would be a mitzvah. And if you hold Tam Kikr Lav Deraisa, and that the purpose of Hechsher Kalim is simply to not have Blios in your food, so then we could understand very easily why it's not a din deraisa. What about a bracha? Do you have to make a bracha on Hechsher Kalim? So the Isser Veheter in Shar Nun Ches Os Kuf Dalid writes, Uma shemevarchin al hatvila velo al hagala. Why is it that we make a bracha on tvilas kalim, we don't make a bracha on hagalas kalim? Hainu mishum da shatvila hi mitzvah saseh vehagala mitzvahs lo sasei, shelo lechol nevelos, vave kenikur gid v'chelev, shein mevarchin alav. Since the purpose of Hagala is simply to prevent the consumption of Isser, so therefore, there is no bracha which is stated. Because we never have a bracha with respect to a lav. He talks about what about bracha on kiddushin and the like, ayin sham. The Rambam, as we said, doesn't count it as a mitzvah, so we could also understand why you don't make the bracha. The Or Chaim, from the Real Miluniel in the Chelek Aleph of Hilchos Chametz Umatzah, writes, Tam lama ein mevarchan al agala kasher kishar hamitzvos, mishum de'efshar lishtamushe bekelim chadashim, ve'ein tzarch lahagil hani kelim, Nimtza de lav mitzvah hi lehishtamesh bahen. It's interesting because that logic would apply to tefillas kelim as well, it would seem. But one way or the other, the fact that the Orchos Chaim doesn't simply say what the Yisr V'Heter says, namely, doesn't simply say that he's actually looking for a reason why you don't make a bracha, and he doesn't simply say that the reason why there's no bracha is because the purpose is simply to purge the kelim of their tam shalisser, right? He doesn't say that. He says, well, you don't have to use these kelim, use different kelim. That's why there's no bracha, right? But he looks for a reason, and he needs to give a reason. So again, that makes sense more within the school of thought that this should be a mitzvah, like the ra'ah, that it's mishamayla and the like. Whereas again, ladidan, we of course don't make a bracha. We assume tam kikers lav derais, so we don't think it's mishamayla. And that fits with, again, the majority opinion that doesn't see this as a mitzvah. Now, this question might also bring us back to what we were talking about at the beginning, namely, how do you teach the psukim, right? According to Rashi and Ramban, so v'chol asher lo yavo ba'ish taviru b'mayim is a reference to cleaning of the kli. So you could ask, my kamash malan, right? Why is it, or at least Ramban will say, why is it, according to Ramban, why is it that the Torah has to tell me that you have to clean the kli from the mamasha shel iser, which is on the kli? Obviously, if there's dirt, there's chazer on my kli, so I have to wash it off, I have to clean it off before I use it. So maybe the answer is, it's telling me that you would have thought that there's still a din of hechsher, misha mitzvah. In other words, if you learn again that the reason why hagala is misha maila, so maybe there should be a mitzvah of hagala even if the kli was not boleya iser, even if it was only used betzonein. So no, the pasuk saying you don't need to do hagala b'chiyai gavna, right? Now, even then, the kamash malan could go either way. Is the kamash malan that this is a form of hechsher, misha maila? Or no, the kamash malan is that it's only kelim shebalu iser that you need to. It's only kelim shebalu iser that this mila exists for. So, again, how you touch the pasuk, it might go back to this question. You could also say the pasuk is being merames to rov tashmish. We'll talk about that later. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the principle of kibol al kach palto. That's the number one principle of Hechsher Kelim. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, Halokech Klei Ayin Hamud Beis, Halokech Klei Tashmish and Akum, Dvarim Shalon Nishtamish Bahen, Matvilan Vein Torin, Dvarim Shalon Nishtamish Bahen, Alidei Tzonein, so then Medichan U Matvilan, and Alidei Chamin, Magilan, and Shem Nishtamish Bahen, Alidei Aor, Milabnan. There also you see like it's a form of Hechsher. Anyway, and we derive this from the Pasuk. So, you see from this Gemara that there's three types of hechsher. There's hadacha, there's hagala, and there's libun. And what's the rule? The way you use it, that's the way you have to kasher it. Ah. So this is the principle of kabolo kach polto. The Gemara says this in a handful of places. For example, the Gemara Psachim Lamed Amud Bey says, Amar Rav Huna, Breid Rav Yeshua, Eitz Parur, something that, like a wooden spoon that you use for stirring, Magilan Beroschin, Uvekli Rishon, Kasavar Kabolo Kach Palto. Why is it that you have to kasher your mixing, you know, your Eitz Parur in a Kli Rishon? Kabolo Kach Palto. Rashi explains, Kabolo Mitoch Kli Rishon, Kach Palto Bekli Rishon. And that, of course, is the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Ah. Now, how far does it go? Is it only said with respect to choosing which category of Hechsher is needed? Or do we say, even within a given category, the hechsher must parallel the usage? So for that, we have to look at where the Gemara actually applies this principle. Again, the question is Kibolo Kapolto just says, okay, which category it's in? There's category of Eish, there's category of Bishol. If it's Eish, then Libun. If it's Bishol, then Hagalah. Or no, perhaps even within a given category, the Hechsher has to parallel the way in which it's used. So the Gemara on Avodah Zarah, Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, Ayin Vav Amud Beis, talks about Rav Akavia made a gedanfa to kasher a yorah gedola. What does that mean? That if you want to kasher a pot that you cooked in, so you do hagala. So one possibility is that just put it into a bigger pot. But let's say it's too big to fit in another pot. So Rav Akavia had an einfeld. He said, make a gedanfa, some type of a rim that you build around your pot that sort of allows the water level to get higher than it would otherwise. And the Gemara says, why does this gedanfa work? Kasavar kibolo kach polto. Ma bolo benitzotzos, af polto benitzotzos. So what you see from here is that we're willing to apply kibolo kach polto in a more specific way, right? It's not just kli rishon or al ha'esh or kli sheni, but actually ma blios benitzotzos, af pleita benitzotzos. So it sounds like from here that we say that yes, the hechsher has to be exactly equivalent to the usage, and it's not just an issue of categories. Now, obviously, if you have a stronger hechsher, that will work. Right? So you could always do Hagalah, put your pot into a bigger pot. You don't say, oh, well, what if the top was only Elidei Nitzotzos, it won't work, but at least going down. So it sounds like basic, you know, maybe you would say, Bein L'Kula, Bein L'Chumra, the Hechsher has to parallel the usage. L'Kula, like we say over here, Ma, the bli alidei nitzotzos af the plate alidei nitzotzos. The Gemara sounds like that's a chiddush. You would have thought, no, it have to do hagala, kamash, and this doesn't qualify as hagala. Why it's only nitzotzos? Kamash malan, no, ma bli alidei nitzotzos af plate alidei nitzotzos. So that's an example where it's a kula. One might wonder whether it's even a chumra. What would an example be? Let's say you use a pressure cooker. So pressure cookers, the food cooks in the pressure cooker, instead of being 212 degrees, it's 300 degrees, let's say. So could you do Hagalah on a pressure cooker? Do we say Kibolo Kachpolto, Ma Bli Al Yidei 300 degrees, so too the plate has to be 300 degrees, or no? So here the poskim say, if you want to take a look, they're cited in the from Shlomo Zalman Arbach and others in the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah. No, you don't need to. Likewise, you can, let's say you had a pot which you deep fried in. So oil boils at a much higher temperature than water. So maybe you would think that you shouldn't be able to do Hagalah to kasher this pot. It's true that Tashmish was Al Yedei liquid, but when you do Hagalah on the pot, you're only getting up to 212. And the usage of the pot was much higher. And the answer is you don't need to. So this is a, for now we'll leave it. On the one hand, we are willing to apply categories. We'll say, no, Hagalah works for anything that was used al yedei bishul, al yedei cooking, and anything therefore that we define as cooking, Hagalah will always work, even in the case of a pressure cooker or deep fryer. Nevertheless, le'inyan lahakel, we are willing to say that, well, if the usage was al yedei nitzotzos, then the hechsher could be al yedei nitzotzos, or the same thing for iroi, or klisheni, or the like. So either from that we see we don't just look at categories, or that these are considered categories. Now, if we turn for a moment in our discussion of kibolo kachpolto to ovens, so here we have a very interesting debate. Rashi writes in Avodah Zarah over there, Kol davar asher yavo ba'esh shenishtam shubo b'nei Midian al yedei ha'or taviru ba'esh ke'en bol'o le'iser yaflitanu, kide aminan, kibo'alo kach palto. So Rashi, in describing Liban, right? Tashmishu al-yidei ha'or. Ha'or, I should say. So in describing Liban, right, he says, he applies the rule of kibo'alo kach palto, just like they used it be'or. So too, the hechsher is al-yidei or kibo'alo kach palto. Now, first of all, it works very nicely in Rashi's reading of the Psukim, as we noted, right? Because Libun and Hagala are derived from the same words of the Pasuk of Kol Asher Yavo Ba'esh Tavio Ba'esh. And Rashi tells us a very important chiddush, which is, seemingly, Rashi understands that Libun also works based off of the principle of Kibolo Kach Palto. Maybe it's not a muchach raya. Maybe Rashi doesn't mean kibolo kach palto, that there's any plata going on here. No. Libun is soref hablios b'mekoman. There's no plata. Kibolo kach palto is lav dafka. He just means that the category of use that caused the blios to go in, so that category is needed for hechsher. But the lashon of kach palto, is lav dafka, even though he writes ke'in bolo le'isser yafli tenu. He does use the lashon of plata. So I don't know if that's a great reading of Rashi. The simple reading of Rashi is that kibolo kach palto does apply to Liban. This is a debate among the poskim. The Gemara's lashon in Ayin Vav Amud Aleph in Avodah Zarah, v'ad kama milabnan amar of mani ad shetasir klipasan. So how high do you need to do Liban? How do you know when Liban is accomplished? So the Bavli writes that the outer layer of the Kli should be removed. The Rush in the Siman Lamed Daled quotes the Yerushalmi that has a different shear. It's ad shiyahu nitzotzos minatzin mimenu. It has to be sparking. And at the end of the Gemara in the Yerushalmi, it also quotes the Bavli shear of Tasir Kli Pasan. So the Pilpula Charifta on the Rosh Osdalid notes this. And Lechora, the answer is that they are the same shear. Rabbi Tendler pointed this out. In the olden days, Rabbi Tendler used to give the fourth-year contemporary Halacha Lamaisa, whatever it's called, back when Hagalas Kalim was part of that curriculum on Hagalas Kalim. So Rabbi Tendler said, these are the same things, because what's causing the sparks to go sparking, where the sparks come from, it's from the outer layer of the kli sort of being burnt off. So it's not a stira, it's not a machlokas between the Bavli Yerushalmi Tzainu Hach, and that's why we see in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, and the Rama, they both cite both views, they're both true. Okay. Now, the Prima Gadim in Sif Eshel Avram Sif Katan Lamed in Tafnun Aleph writes that this you need this shear for Liban. And we don't say kibolo kach palto, the Prima Gadim says, for Libun, for Kli Shabalai De'esh. We're not allowed to say the following. Here's the question. I know my oven goes up to 500 degrees. So if I want to kasher my kalim in my oven, let's say I'm kashering for Pesach, or it somehow became treif or the like. So as long as I do 500 degrees, I'm going to be okay. Kibolo kach palto, right? So I don't need a self-cleaning oven because I never cooked food in a self-cleaning oven. I know my kalim never got hotter than 500 degrees. So l'chora, if you say that kibolo kach palto works for Liban, like Rashi seems like he's saying, so then there's a very simple method of kashering kalim. Kibolo kach palto, 500 degrees, whatever the maximum temperature your oven goes, so you'll be able to kasher your oven that way, and you'll be able to kasher any keli that you used in the oven that way. But we just saw that the Prima Gadim is machmir. No, the Prima Gadim said that Hagala and Liban are different. When it comes to Hagala, we have the principle of kibolo kach palto. However it came in, that's the way it comes out. When it comes to Liban, Liban works differently. Liban, you need a shear. What's the shear? Nitzotzos, nitzin mimenu, tasir klipasan. If you want, you could try to translate that into a certain temperature. We'll talk about later what that temperature might be. But that temperature is needed. And if you don't have that temperature, then the kli remains treif. The oven remains chametz stick. Rav Moshe, accepts this view, the view of the Primagadim. It's in Yardei Achelik Aleph Simon Samech, Dibur Mascha Velachain. And he holds that, again, you want to kosher your oven? Let's say you move into an apartment in the Heights, the previous owners were not kosher keeping. Don't think you could just turn up your oven to the highest temperature for an hour. That doesn't work. That would work if you said that kibo lo kach polta. But that doesn't work when it comes to libun. Libun is a different thing. How does libun work? Libun works based off of the principle of soreif es ablios b'mekoman. It doesn't get the blios out. It's not polate the blios. It burns them in their place. And blios only burn up and disappear at a certain temperature. Let's say 800 degrees. Different poskim have different temperatures, but we'll say 800 degrees for now. So until you get to 800 degrees, it doesn't help. And you can't do hagala because it wasn't tashmish alidei mayim. So that's the only option. And he writes, that's why if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, Sif Dalet and Sif Hei of Simen Taf Nun Aleph, it doesn't mention anywhere Kefi Tashmish and Hechsheiran. It's only when we start talking about Hagala in Sif Hei, Sif Vavav, that we say, oh, Kefi Tashmish and Kach Hechsheiran. Why? Because that rule applies to Hagala, it doesn't apply to Liban. And Rav Moshe says, I'll bring you a proof that I'm right. Because we know that you could do Hachzara L'Kivshonos for Kli Cheres. Now, it's true, some Rishonim might say that works based off of Panim Chadashos Baal Lakan. And we saw in the Shulchan Aruch that, practically speaking, we don't always allow that because there's a gzera that you might not do it properly because you're concerned that the keli will break. But fundamentally, you could do Liban on Kli Cheres, Rav Moshe says. Now, why? HaTorah Ida, that Kli Cheres Eino Yotzi Midei Dofno Liolam. So the Torah tells us, when it tells us you need to do Shvira, Agav, where does it say Shvira? Right? By Mikdash? It's another place where we see perhaps the...
In Tumah.
Yeah, in Tumah. Doesn't say Shvira. What?
In Mikdash and Tumah.
In Mikdash and Tumah, right? But not in Hechsher Kalim, right? It's another place where we might see a derivation. But anyway, the Torah says that you can't... that Kli Cheres Einu Yotzi Midei Dofno Liolam. Now, how then does Liban work? So Moshe says, if you see from here that Liban has nothing to do with Kabbalah Lokach Polto, because it can't be polite. Elamai, how does Liban work? Must be, it's Soreif Bimakomo. So does everybody agree with Moshe's conclusion? The answer is no. The Minchas Yitzchak, Chela Gimel Simen Samech Vav, writes that it's not true. Basically, we'll say Kabbalah Lokach Polto even for Liban. If you turn your temperature up, your oven to the highest temperature for a certain amount of time, an hour or two, so that will effectively kosher the oven. And he's medayik this way from a Tshuvos Maimoni in Hilchos Machalos Asuros in the back of the Rambam Simen Hei. He's talking there about Pashtida, and he writes, Afilu lo husak yafe kedei hasaras klipa mehani sheregilin lachzor lachamimok sherotin lachzor velefos v'nemar kibolo kachpolto. So the Tshuvos Maimonios says explicitly Kibol Lakach Polto with respect to the Hechsher of Liban. And he writes that B'shem the Almana of the Ri Shebaila, meaning the Ri Lo Yamocha B'Yadam, with this type of Hechsher Vayu Ofin Tachas Machlas Achas Pashtida Achar Pladin Rakayu Misikan Kederach Ofin. In other words, they would go from using the oven milchiks to fleishiks, and what would they do? They would just do hasaka, but they didn't get to the shear of nitzotzos nitzin. And that's what they used to do, bebeis Rabbeinu Meir Zikni, and bebeis Maras Miriam Baspito Shel Rashi. So he's all this edus of this type of low-level kiboa lo kach polto style liban. Now, you could be docha the rayos, technically, because you could say that's a heterabala. So maybe there's no raya. Maybe it's a heterabala and fundamentally hagala would work. So since hagala would work, liban ka works, and that's kibol lo kach polto. And the tshuva is meyer, that point. But from the lashon of the tshuva, it sounds like we do say kibol lo kach polto by liban. And that's his view. The Rav was also of this view. The Rav held that you could kosher an oven if through just having it at the highest temperature. So running it at the highest temperature for an hour or two, and that would kosher it. Practically, the way to do it in the Heitz ovens is you put it on broil, because when it's on the broil setting, so then it doesn't turn off, it's always running. Then if you want to make it even a little better, you could cover over the vent, which is on the top of the oven in the Washington Heights standard model ovens. Probably helps a little bit to get it hotter, but that's enough, and that works to kosher it, and that works for Pesach according to this view, according to the Rav, and for others. If not, so then what do you do? So you either have to, if you have self-clean, and it's very easy, we'll talk about self-clean in just a moment, but self-clean would work, so that's the easiest solution. If you don't have self-cleaning ovens, you either have to try with a blowtorch, which is very difficult and tedious, because you can't just like run the blowtorch over it, chick-chock. You have to keep the blowtorch on each spot with enough time for it to reach that temperature. And you could also warp it. It's not a simple solution. I had a brother-in-law who was machmir for Rav Moshe's view, which is, I think, the mainstream view outside of YU around here. And so he was told that the etza is to fill your oven up with charcoal and then turn it on. So this was a good theory. So he was even told that you have to make sure you take out the thermostat first, because otherwise it'll burn up the thermostat, which he did. Somebody forgot to tell him that it turns your whole apartment black, even if you have the windows open. So that was a little issue, especially because they just painted his apartment. So if you're going to do that method of koshering, you should take the oven out of the house before you kosher with charcoal, or have some type of very good exhaust system. Now, there are other kulas of ovens, as we pointed out, for Pesach, so we'll talk about Heterabal and the like. There, as we'll see throughout the Siman, there's kulas and chumras for Pesach. Chumras, it's Nisr Mashu, kulas, it's Heterabal. But you have to keep in mind our whole discussion about ovens in the first place, right? After all, ovens only could, they might not asher anything, right? If you learn like Rav Shechter, you don't even need a kasher in oven. And even if they do asher, how do they asher? They asher al-yidei zeya. So who says zeya requires libun, right? So why is Rav Moshe so machmir, by the way? Rav Moshe is so machmir because he's concerned about a spill, presumably. Now, zeya itself, you could kasher al-yidei. You need Liban Kal, which is equivalent to Hagala. Presumably you don't need it for that. So but that's the machlokas. Now what about if you follow the lenient view, how will you respond to Rav Moshe's Raya from Kli Cheres? So you could say Panim Chadashos Bolakan. Again, that's not going to be such a good answer practically, because it's a big chiddush to apply that rule when the taste is still there. You have to say, l'chora, that libun does two things. Number one is it's maflit the yisr. Number two is that libun also, in other words, kibolo kach palto. Number two is the metzias is that it is also soref es hablios b'makoman. It does two things. The pasuk might actually only be talking about kibolo kach palto, but it happens to be the metzias is that libun also is soref es hablios b'makoman, and therefore it works for Kli Cheres, not because of what the Pasuk says, because of what the scientists tell you. And Liban actually does those two things. Now this machlokas about how Liban works might actually be a machlokas in Rishonim in another context. If you take a look at the Torah Sabayis Dalad, and then the Ra'ah, and then the Mishmer Sabayis over there, there, the discussion, which we'll get to a little later when we do Simon Kuf Chaf Aleph, but it's quoted also in Kuf Chaf Aleph in the Shach Yad Zayin and the Taz Zayin, the Ra'ah holds that even though we paskin cham miktsaso cham kulo, if you use iser b'miktsaso, so the entire kli becomes aser, but you could kosher it by just being by partial, But not libun. If you want a kasha al yedei libun, you have to do the whole thing, right? Why? Because libun isn't maflit the bli, that's mechala also. So it sounds like the ra'ah is basically taking the view of Rav Moshe. The Mishmer Sambayis over there disagrees. He writes, lo dak v'ganana, vim kein anu namar b'kli shetzala bo iser im libeno so miktza nachshir kulo dekabolo kach polto v'o dekevan shu omer miklimat deklimatchos kol shacham oso miktza shetzala bo cham in espashit habela af miktzas shelo tzala bo im kein af kishalibeno so miktzas cham kulo v'oso cham gamhu mechala ma shebala kederech shebala. So it's interesting. It sounds like the Rashba and the Ra'ah are arguing about the following. The Ra'ah learns, like Rav Moshe, that it's surface of Blios b'makomo. The Rashba learns that it's polite to Blios. Now, you could ask a basic question, which is, if you think it's polite to Blios, like we saw the Lashon of Rashi, so well, what happens to those Blios? Do they just hang around? So the answer is that if you're polite the blios, then they're sorif, but not in the koman. In other words, libun is maflit the blios, and then they get burnt up in the air, as opposed to being burnt up in the place. And that relates to a question again that we'll get back to later. But what type of things do we apply the principle of doing hechsher on a partial kli? Now, just derech agav, if you ever want to see blios, so if you go ahead and run a self clean cycle. You'll see that afterwards there's this like white powder ash that's all over the place. And that's true even if you put your let's say it's clean, right? Let's say I was cleaning my oven racks for Pesach. So before I put them on, there was no mamashes on the whole oven racks. They were totally clean. And yet, when they came out, they were full of this powdery white ashes. So that's the blios that are getting burnt up.
Oh. They weren't burnt, though.
Well, they were burnt. You're saying now b'makoman. Right, so if you learn like the Rashba, it's very good. If you learn like the Ra'as, I guess they fall out afterwards. Where are they going to go? Now, just one last point on self-cleaning, and then I'll take your question. So it's an interesting question. Why is it that self-clean works? So we don't have a nitzotos nitzin. And we don't have a surface layer being removed, so maybe self-clean shouldn't actually kasher your oven if you follow the stringent view, if you follow Rav Moshe. So the answer why there isn't sparks is because these are made from alloys and the like that don't start sparking at this temperature. Maybe if you do self-clean at 10,000 degrees, so they'd spark. But at the at 900 degrees or 1,000 degrees, which is what the self-cleaning ovens reach, so they don't spark. Okay. But still not so pashut, because they don't actually reach the temperature of nitzotzos nitzin. It's hard to know. Everything has nitzotzos nitzin at a different temperature and what metals they were talking about and the like. But it doesn't actually reach the temperature that the Shulchan Aruch, that the Bavli and Yerushalmi seem to be talking about. So Mechatesi, it works, especially if you follow Rav Moshe. So it's actually a bit of a chiddush. Rabbi Belsky writes that he heard from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky that the reason why self-cleaning is Liban Gamor is because if you run it for the full cycle, which is 3 or 4 hours, it takes off more tangible food and stains than Libun Gamor does. And this shows us, this is by the way from OU document K118, I'm quoting, this shows us that although the self-cleaning cycle does not reach the same temperature that Libun Gamor does, it is more effective than Libun is because it is done for such an extended amount of time. Therefore, we could presume that it burns away the absorbed flavors at least as well as Libun Gamor does. So he's making like a Kal v'chomer, which everybody in the Welt is someich on this, but it's actually not such a pashut Kal v'chomer. He's saying like this. Let's say you do what they did as Libun Gamor. Adshi unitzotzos nitzin. Now there's no shir that has to be done for 4 hours. So you do it for a shorter period of time. How much be'en will be gone? X. And when you do the self-cleaning cycle, it's X plus one. There's more be'en that's gone. So it must be that just like the self-cleaning cycle is more effective for burning up the be'en, memela, it's also more effective for burning up the blios, kavachomer, or equal, huadin, and therefore it should work. That's basically the theory behind self-cleaning ovens, which, as I said, is not so pashut. Again, maybe the riot works is that fine powdered ash that you see after you're done. Yeah.
So, okay. If we say kavol kapata for even, then what's the shear of the gemara used for?
That does everything, no matter what. That's guaranteed. Again, it might be relevant for, like we said, for cheres or the like. But the point is, if you go ahead and you don't know exactly what temperature you did it, so if you do nitzotzos nitzin, so then you're fine. I suppose that's what you'd say. Yep.
Two questions. The day of Sarkum the Makabon holds that Sarkum the Makabon holds that, sorry, it destroys Bleus on the inside and the end of the hole?
Yeah, so one of the things that we'll see that differentiates Liban from Hagalah is that when you want to do Hagalah, you have to clean it off very well, make sure that there's no end left. When it comes to Liban, you don't. And the reason is because Liban is effective at burning up the be'en. That's true, even Liban Kal, actually. And that's true, that's just the Metzias. The Metzias is, that's why it's called self-clean, right? Self-clean, because it clean, right? People run self-cleaning ovens. It's not because they're trying to get rid of the blios. I mean, that's we know that's really why self-cleaning ovens were invented. But when they first made self-cleaning ovens, it wasn't because of blios, it was because people want to clean the mamashas from their ovens. And the self-cleaning oven burns away all the mamashas.
Is this true even for the day of Kabul Kapolto? Like, that they fund them, they think that...
Yeah, because the mamashas, that's, everybody agrees that Liban has the capacity to burn up mamashas. So that's true according to both views. The only question is, how does it deal with the blios? Does it deal with the blios through Kabolo Kachpolto and then being sorry for them on their way out after they've left in the air? Or does it deal with the problem of blios by being sorfam b'mekoman?
Okay. And then lastly, in our ovens, what are the blios we're talking about? Like from the Zaya? Or
so both from Zaya and spills. You would be concerned with both of those.
Spills are really for the racks. You mean like in the walls?
The racks and, well, yeah, things splatter on the walls. I mean, the reason why you need to clean your oven, one of the reasons is because there's splatters. The floor, if it overflows, the walls, the roof.
Zaya creates blios too, or that's just like the condensation?
No, Zaya creates blios. If you think there's Zaya in ovens, then Zaya, and you think your ovens are closed enough, there's not sufficient exhaust, then Zaya creates blios.
Then it comes out.
Yeah.
If we know there's an idea of Kabbalah Kachpoto, then what's the svar of Zaya that doesn't apply to Liban?
Kabbalah Kachpoto is a klal that's said by water, by Bishul. It's a klal in Bishul. It's not a klal anywhere else. Yeah. Again, I think that works better if you read the Pasuk like the Sifrei according to the Gra, right? Okay. Be'ezras Hashem, I guess we'll pick up tomorrow and we'll start talking. Tomorrow we'll do topic of Hetera Bala. We're going to spend we'll talk about frying pans as well. Hetera Bala and Machbas. Keep on going as far as you could go, it's a big, there's a lot of chomer, so just do as much as you can. So tomorrow we'll do Hetera Bala and Machbas and Sakin, I guess those are the topics we'll do tomorrow, Be'ezras Hashem. Okay, have a good day.